Did you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur.
Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 351 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyro, your host once again. And today my guest is Shanice Miller. Now, Shanice owns a company called the Taskly Group, TASKLYGROUP.com. Well, that's their website, the Taskly Group. And what they do is they set up your business system so you don't have to. And it's a really interesting model because, you know, we hear attorneys say all the time, well, I need to systematize, and yet I don't have the time to do that. Well, her company is tasked with doing just that. So they come in and they interview you and they go through the workflow and they design it and find it, then design what needs to be improved or changed or connected, and then they implement the systems for you, including the training and the procedures and what have you. So they help you set up your systems and provide training to your staff. And I think it's a really interesting model for those people who, you know, are busy tending to the legal needs of their practice and don't quite have the bandwidth to be able to do the necessary systemizations. So I was really thrilled to have Shanice on the program, and I hope you enjoy this interview as much as I did. So without any further delay, here is Shanice Miller. Shanice Miller, welcome to The Law Entrepreneur.
Thank you, Neil. I'm glad to be here.
Well, it is a delight to have you with us today. Shanice, tell our audience a little bit about yourself and how you came to be where you are today.
Yes, I am the owner and run a business operations firm called Taskly Group. And this is for service-based business owners like your law entrepreneurs. And sometimes a lot of these people will have messy or no systems in place. And this really helps to make their daily activities more efficient and their business to run smoother, so they can maximize their impact and make sure no clients will slip between the cracks.
So you're kind of a systems development expert or?
Yes, I am. Yep. And we do the implementation. That's what sets us apart from a lot of other companies, which usually just focus on the strategy. We actually implement those systems into what you already have in place.
Okay. Well, so tell me, give me some examples our listeners might understand the context within which that service is being provided.
Okay, that's a pretty loaded question, Neil, but I'll try to break that down. So a lot of times we will focus on one department in the business. So part of our framework, we say each business has at least three core departments, which is the marketing department, the sales department, and the client services or client delivery department. Without those three departments, your business kind of does not run. We need marketing leads to be generated somehow in order to convert those leads into sales. So we need a process for the sales part. And then we need what we're going to deliver on. What did we sell the people on? So you have that client delivery or client services. So an example of a law firm client, you might be getting leads from a Google My Business account, or you might be getting leads from social media. So what are you doing each day to post, to try to get reviews, to, you know, get more leads into that pipeline? And then what are you doing to make those leads turn into sales? Are you getting on a phone call? So we really map out the entire process so that we can start pinpointing what works, what's not working, what you need to increase and do more of, and what you might need to eliminate from your daily tasks so that we can have those three different departments flow together, work really well, like a well-oiled machine, and streamline as much as the process so that you can save 20 hours or more per week on the work that you're doing.
That's fascinating. Let's kind of focus in just on one area for the moment by way of example. Practically, to be honest with you, we've done a lot in marketing and sales as of late. So I want to focus on client services.
Okay.
So assuming that I'm a law firm owner and I've identified that as an area where I think I need to pay some attention and I want to beef up, you know, what I have or kind of really understand what I'm doing, because a lot of times we attorneys, we do things in piecemeal fashion, haphazardly and occasionally. So it's hard to see if there's a system there at all. What's the process that you go through to work with a client?
Well, yes, I use three steps to work with each client. It's my define, design, and do process. So first, when I work with a client, we're actually going to define what needs to be done. Like, what is hurting in your business? What is taking a lot of time, causing you a lot of pain that we need to systematize? What are we doing that is manual that we need to automate? If you're at capacity, you feel like you can't get things delivered on time, or things are taking forever, these are all signs that we probably need to look at this particular area. So if you are, and there are different types of attorneys out there. So they are patent attorneys, and there'll be a different system that you go through the patent process, or a family law attorney. There are different systems, but a lot of times I'll see some of the same things in my 6, 7, or 8-figure clients where they want to start off with an intake form. They want to really get all this information from the client after they've already signed them on. What's their name? What is their problem? What are the dates that they will need to have some of these things by? Are there any particular court dates that we need to think about? And so we have this form so we can have just this basis of process. Neil, let's do a little experience together. What type of law do you practice or do you focus on? And then we can walk through the steps that way.
Well, sure. I do estate planning. As I like to say, I do estate planning for regular folks like you and me. But I primarily focus on, you know, middle class or lower middle class individuals. I try and stay away from the high net worth clients. And I do, you know, as I said, estate planning, wills, trusts, and things of that nature. And so what I'm interested in is creating that great client experience for these folks, you know. Assuming I can get enough clients in the door and I can make the sales and get them booked as a client, I really want to focus on that client experience because that's what leads to referrals and repeat business and that kind of thing. So that's where, you know, if I were to come to you, I would want to concentrate.
Perfect. And I'm sure that besides referrals, you also want to be able to hire other attorneys so they can do the process the same that you do it as well.
Exactly.
So off some of the workload and also be able to expand. You can expand your practice by adding on more clients without you having to work more. So
100% true.
So the first thing that I would do is ask you, okay, so Neil, now we're walking it through. The person's already signed their contract with you. So the first step after signing their contract is a nice, maybe welcome email, like a hello, thank you for choosing us, or it could be a welcome text message. I usually prefer email. Thanks for choosing us. What would be your next step that you want the person to do after they have signed their contract and paid you the money?
Well, we go through a process that yields the data that's necessary to do the plan. So there's a form that they get that specifies what they need in terms of their plan. Names, information, contact information, and the like. But I would be more concerned, not necessarily with that part, because that part is systematized and runs on its own. I would be more concerned about how to continue to turn those clients into raving fans. I want to really focus on their experience. Now, in the past, I have at times sent a gift, a thank you gift for becoming a client.
Okay. And that can be included in that automation process.
Sure.
Of sending a thank you gift. It can be a thank you gift based on how much you know, the client is, or it can just be a general thank you gift that you give for everyone. And that would be something that we would definitely talk out going together. Like, okay, the next step after they get that email is to send them this thank you gift, to send you a handwritten note. There is a software tool I incorporate that sends out handwritten notes. You don't necessarily have to send them out yourself, but there are programs that have handwritten notes that they can send out. So it's a nice personalized touch. There are things that we can do to incorporate. You're talking about after the business. So not quite client delivery, because the client delivery process and taking the person step by step through what you're doing and what they need done is part of getting those rave reviews, making sure that you are keeping in constant contact with the person weekly. So you might have a weekly check-in that's automated, asking them like, hey, you know, making sure we don't need anything else, or here are your outstanding items that we're still waiting on you to produce us with, or here is the next steps. Just keeping up that constant communication. We have different things that we can set up on autopilot, so that person is, we're always at top of mind, and they know that we are handling their particular cases with care and that they're not slipping through the cracks. So
one of the biggest challenges that attorneys have is keeping up that level of communication, because the number one complaint that we hear from not my clients, I'm told out there in the world that the number one complaint of a lot of clients is they can't get a hold of their attorney, or they don't hear from them on a regular enough basis, or they have no insight as to whether or not something's being done on their legal matter.
Yes, and that's exactly, I've heard the same thing from my clients as well. So that's why we have set up those systems. In fact, one client was always having one of their clients reach out to them. Hey, where are we on this project? Hey, I just had this meeting. Hey, so part of our onboarding project, part of our onboarding process is setting up certain expectations so that the client knows that we're going to send you out an update email each week. And that's already an automated thing, just telling them either if we know we have weeks that are where we're doing a lot of work, we'll send them that automated email saying, hey, we are still working on your file right now. We will definitely update you next week with anything that we need from you, we need back from you, however the person, the client wants to word it to their clients. But it's just a weekly follow-up. Here's what we've done so far, or here's what still needs to be done, so that the person can rest easy. And they can get notified as well when we are doing certain things. But usually I find that a once a week email is sufficient so that the client feels cared for, and it's not like an overabundance or underabundance of communication.
So as you go through this analysis process, and you, as you said, you define, design, and do, as you go through this process, what's the output product that you generate? Is it a flow chart that shows the process? Is it a checklist that documents the process? Is it an automated series that is implemented that connects one application or one service to another so that the workflow, you know, goes from start to finish without intervention? How does the end product look?
All of the above. So we first start off with our consultation call, and that's when we're doing that workflow. So we're doing a charting of exactly what it is that you want this process to look like. How do you want us to respond? If someone responds with a yes, then we're going to do these next things in the sequence. If a person is saying no, or they're saying they need additional help, or they want you to call them to get an update, then we're doing these additional things in the sequence. So we're first mapping that out, so you do get that flow chart of what the process is. But then what we also do is implement it. So we are implementing into a project management software. Okay, what are the checklists that are for certain tasks? What are the automations that we can add to these tasks? So if you wanted someone to customize that email, we might have that email template already automated with a due date, and it's already automatically assigned to a specific person with a specific job title. And they are notified that they need to send this out on Friday and just add these little edits.
Now, when you do that, is the client required to use the project management system that you're familiar with, or do you adapt your systems to whatever tools they are using?
We adapt to whatever tool that the client is using.
All right. So generically, you have this, you know, process set up, or you have an idea of what the workflow is going to look like, what the process steps are going to have to be, and then you map that to whatever tools they are currently using, or identify holes in their technology structure where they may want to consider something to plug in to affect that step. Is that right?
Correct. Yep. Yeah.
Interesting. You know, I've told this story before, but when I brought my virtual assistant on board, here's a quick plug for Get Staffed Up. My VA came through that company, who I'm happy to support. When I onboarded her and we sat down at a whiteboard and kind of just went through the workflow of how do I get clients? And once I get clients, what's the path that they take through the system? And then what do we do with them at the end of the representation? How do we service them going forward? Just the process of laying that all down on the whiteboard or on a piece of paper was so illustrative. And it was so useful because it had all been in my head up until then. And I think that's probably the case with most solo or small firm practitioners. You know, they've built the process up as they've gone along. They haven't necessarily needed to document it. Just the work sitting down with you to define what the workflow is valuable in and of itself, even if you went no further than that.
It is. And I'm glad that you brought that up. And you are definitely a better person than I was when I first started out, because trying to hire someone, as you know, can be difficult if you don't have it mapped out what you want to do. In fact, I tried to hire a virtual assistant first, a VA, and I didn't have anything in mind what they could do. I thought I was hiring for them to do inbox clean out. And so you tell them inbox clean out, but that is so vague. They're like, well, how do I respond to these emails? And so you learn that you do have to map out all these processes. What are some frequently asked questions that we can make templates for, so that somebody can know that when someone asks this question, we can shoot off this email instead of having to always run back to the owner to ask them, how do I handle this? How do I handle that? And that's exactly what we map out.
Yeah. If you've been a listener of this podcast for any time, you know that I sing the praises of Ruby all the time, because they're really responsible in my own practice for helping me grow my business, deliver personalized experience to my clients, you know, building customer loyalty, really, in terms of having a consistent front-facing office partner in Ruby, and allows me to stay connected anywhere, anytime to my business through their services. So I can't say enough about Ruby. I'm delighted to have them and continue to have them as a sponsor of this podcast. As a law firm owner, you take responsibility for driving more revenue for your firm. But how much of that revenue ends up as bottom line profit? Ryan Kimmler, the Net Profit CFO, helps law firms drive more top-line revenue to bottom-line profit. His two game-changing tools are the scorecard, so you can actually know what your numbers are and can make informed decisions, and the action plan, so you know how to get your numbers where you want them to be and drive more net profit. To learn more about Ryan, check out episode 306 of The Law Entrepreneur, and you can get a free profit acceleration call by going to go.oncehub.com/profit. I will also tell you, just as an aside, I am a client of Ryan's. I have been working with him for the past 6 months. Frankly, ever since he did that episode with me, I signed on with him to be a client. And I've been thrilled with the kind of information and insight he's been able to give me. So do yourself a favor, you know, get that free call and check out Ryan Kimmler at netprofit.com. When I was going through it, and I will freely admit, what I was concerned about is I didn't know how stable a virtual assistant would be. And I was deathly afraid that I would go through all this onboarding process and teach them what to do. And then as soon as they got to some level of competency, they would leave and I'd have to start all over again. And so what we did, and I'm gathering from, the steps that you listed, I think you do something similar, is as we got the workflow mapped out and I saw where each bubble on the flow chart, so to speak, was, then we did a video for each bubble to say, for this step, this is what you do, so that there would be a visual record of what needs to happen during that workflow.
Yes, that's what we do. And then we also have it assigned based on a job title and not necessarily a person's name, so that if that person did leave, then you could just bring in someone else with that same job title and plug them into the same area in the sequence that they're in. Instead of trying to figure out where they are or where they haven't been, you have a nice tracker tool of, okay, this person already did this step and this step, and now we're doing this, and this is where they left off on the checklist for the task.
Yeah. And so that was my quick and dirty way, an easy way of getting that taken care of. And I promised myself that I would take it to the next step and haven't quite done that yet. And that is to then supplement those videos with written procedures. And I know that's something that you spend time in as well. You document those steps, right?
Yes, we definitely document, because it's very important to have the videos. I really love them. But then you also want to make sure some key parts aren't missed. And that's where the checklists come in. And that's all incorporated into the software. If you have a checklist for this step of, you have to edit it out, then someone's not sending the email template with, hi, first name.
Exactly. So, all right. So now we're going through this step. And as you said, you have these three different departments, marketing, sales, and client services. And you go through a similar process for each one, define, design, and do. Tell me about the do part.
So the do is the implementation part. So how you mentioned in your, when you work with your virtual assistant, you did the define part. What is it exactly? What's your goal? What's your vision for the business? What are we trying to do in a, what are we trying to accomplish with this? And then you actually designed it. You mapped out the steps, when y'all did the whiteboard or on a piece of paper. And so when we do, we're actually uploading and implementing all of those steps that you've mapped out into a project management tool, so that you can automate certain areas, so that you can connect the marketing area to the sales process, to the client delivery process, and they all work together and are giving you those constant updates, are already automatically sending out certain emails so that the client's happy and they get that good communication. They don't feel like their case has gone between the cracks. And it's just really putting everything together so that you're doing less things manually, saving all of those hours per week that you would be writing emails or trying to do certain phone calls, especially if it's just a quick check-in.
Yeah. Now, we were talking about project management tools and platforms and various other technology components. Working with as many different clients as you work with, you're obviously coming across a lot of different tools that people use. I'm guessing that at some point in time, you're starting to see at least some commonality amongst a lot of folks that are people are choosing one particular tool over another, or one that you feel better supports the work that you're doing. Have you gotten that feel yet, or are you still completely open to just about any tool that's out there?
So I always see what the business owner is using first, because I don't want to give you a lot of tools that are going to be hard for you to learn, or there's a big learning curve. And we add in more so the other tools through automation. So I do see a common area where a lot of my clients, they're using ClickUp or they're using Asana. I have a handful of other clients that are using other tools as well, but we really try. And a lot of times what happens is those tools have the same thing. Some tools will have more features than others. But for the most part, they do the same thing.
Yeah. So you take on that learning curve of learning a variety of tools and how you can implement your systems and processes in those tools to affect the client's desires.
Yes. Yep. Now, I learn all the tools and I, you know, from some of the clients too, I will learn some of the tools and then I'll check those out, see if they're the best. But there are so many different variations, just like brands out there. You can have, you know, different brands of ketchup, but at the same time, you're still trying to produce ketchup.
Yep, that's right. And when you identify an area that could use some additional automation or a feature that could be integrated into the workflow that's going to require a new tool, how do you share that with the client and what do you do for them in that area?
Yeah, so a lot of times while we're doing that mapping process in the design area, that's when we start talking about different tools. And I will ask them, like, you know, are you okay with using something like that? But we provide training videos after we've implemented everything, walking you through all of the automations, all of the things that we set up. We talk about how the workflow goes through and we do a test account so that we can show you, okay, when this person enters into your process, this is what they receive when they first, this is the email they get first. And then after, you know, this amount of time, this is what they're getting next. And this is how everything flows through.
Well, that only makes sense. And, you know, I'm glad to see you do that. There's a lot of folks, frankly, that don't. What they may do is bring a test set with them, you know. And I'm always a little suspicious of that because I always want to, like, well, how do I know that it's not optimized for the data that you're bringing as opposed to the data that I might be introducing? So I like that you show them, you know, a test case and let them walk through the system with that. What are some, now you've done this for a lot of folks, a lot of different kinds of businesses, including, well, law firms. Where are you seeing the most need in these types of entrepreneurial endeavors?
That really depends on the client, and I usually defer to the client. I actually have a free mini training that for your listeners, and it goes in depth on how they can automate and figure out which processes and systems have in their business have the most need, so they can scale to 6, 7, and 8 figures. We'll just talk about that a little bit more at the end. But a lot of times people will tell me, like, where it hurts, where they're using up a lot of their time. I mean, client delivery is definitely a big deal, but also is sales and marketing. So that's why I kind of hone in on those three. And once we get those settled, then we can move into other departments, like maybe your HR and hiring department, because if you're having issues with hiring the people, then we need to look into those systems. What are you looking at? What are you putting on some of these applications? How are you going through the application process so that you can find someone who really meets your need and is going to have the same goals that you do?
Well, that's interesting. This whole nother kettle of fish, as my mother would say, because the staffing and hiring process is one that I hear, you know, most folks just are having such a difficult time with, and it's something that most firms don't systemize because they don't do enough of it. You know, if you're a big company, the process of bringing somebody on and hiring somebody and onboarding them, it becomes pretty standardized across the company. But when you're a small business and small firm, you're not typically hiring that many people. Hopefully you're not churning through your staff and having to hire somebody new every, you know, month or so. So it's interesting that you would seek to systemize that process as well.
Yes. Well, I work with other businesses as well. You know, like I said, some 6-figure, some 7-figure, some 8-figure businesses.
Yeah, yeah.
So some of them are looking into systematizing those areas, as well as maybe their accounting. Maybe solopreneurs are having a hard time really with accounting, tracking where their money's coming from and where it's going to. So then we will look into that area.
How did you get involved in all this?
Yeah. So I actually started out with an educational consulting company, and it was one Friday. I was sitting at my desk after a long day of work, and I was just feeling so tired and overwhelmed. And I went to check my books, and I just had the best week in business. I had an $8,000 week, but I really wanted to cry. I sat there feeling so overwhelmed, so overworked, and just not really knowing how I could get out of the process that I was in. I was that solopreneur wearing all the hats. I was doing the sales, the marketing, doing the Facebook ads, trying to do the client delivery, following up with the emails. And I did not have those systems in place to make it easier on me. So it really made me start to look at and think about, okay, how, even though I had this coaching program, I had a mentor, there was definitely a gap where they don't necessarily teach you about systems. But that was there when you're going from your first place where as a solopreneur, you're servicing maybe 3 or 5 clients, it's fine then. But what brought me to that level wasn't going to take me to the next level, which was where I was at. And I started feeling that pain and I hit that ceiling of this is the amount of clients that I can service without systems in place, without having certain processes. So I started really digging through. I sold my business. But when I was going through the sales process, I realized that my business should have been valued more. I should have gotten 6 figures for it, but I only sold it for a 5-figure amount because, of course, I was trying to do a quick sale. I was so tired. And also, I didn't have those systems in place like other businesses that were selling for higher prices. They had systems in place that they can just pop in one owner into another place. They could have one person who was doing one job title into another area. So I really started to dig in and see that systems were the key to success in business. It was the key to helping you produce a sustainable business with less stress and also with less errors and happier clients.
For sure. And I think in particular for a law firm, without those systems that you can plug in different individuals and, as you said, different owners, you really just have a database of names and obligations.
Yes.
And that's really hard to value. And so if you aspire to get to a point, or you're getting to that point because of whatever, your age or just you're tired of being a law firm owner, if you want to sell your business, then you have to systemize it. You have to be able to show that these are the systems that drive the business, can operate without you.
Definitely. That was the biggest lesson that I learned.
Yeah. And that in turn, motivated you and inspired you to create the current business.
It did. Because I...
those services.
Yeah, because that was the thing too. I saw that gap in the marketplace that all these business coaches, because I had a bunch of business coaches, no one was really focused on the systems.
Well, we've had a lot of coaches on this program, and the message has always been pretty clear, systemize. But how to do that was mm-hmm. never really clear.
Yes. Yes.
Like, okay.
Until now.
build a boat. How do I build a boat? And this boat that I did build, how do I know it's going to float?
Yeah. And, with hiring, it's the same thing. We tell the virtual assistants or new hire, hey, fill out this form. And they're like, how do I fill out the form? We'll fill out the form.
Exactly. Tell us a little bit about this free training that you have to offer.
So I have a free meeting training. It helps you to really pinpoint and define the systems and the automations that you would need to use in your business and processes in your business to scale to 6, 7, and 8 figures. And your listeners can get that by going to taskleygroup.com/Neil, N-E-I-L, and they can just put their name and email address in, and it will get delivered to them immediately.
What form does that take, that course take?
Oh, it's a video. It's a quick video that will just come up onto the next screen.
Okay.
So you'll get that immediately.
So they'll be able to look at that and consume that and address the questions raised in that, and they will have some insight as to what their needs might be, right?
Yes, definitely. And they also help with mapping out, because the other special freebie that I usually give out is a mapping process that I do and I go through. And it's a very simple one. Anyone, you don't have to use a special tool or anything where we're really mapping through the task, because that was another pain point I saw was people would map through tasks, but it wouldn't necessarily be in layman's terms. So someone might say something like, oh, memorialize this document. And someone's like, what does that mean? Are you trying to have us save it in a particular folder? Sure. You know, like there are certain, sometimes we can get a little bit technical as attorneys or as people who are in consulting agencies, and we really have to make it so that a third grader can understand.
Well, let's give that URL again. We'll have it in the show notes, but I want to make sure that our listeners understand where they can get that that mini training.
Yes, they can go to my website, taskelitegroup.com/Neil, N-E-I-L. And that's where they can get my 3 steps to automate systems in your business to scale to 6, 7, and 8 figures. And they can also book a call to chat with me about their personal business systems with that same link.
Awesome. Well, Shanice, thank you so much for being with us today. I really do appreciate it. As we mentioned in the pre-call, you're local here in the Washington area. So this is particularly timely and appropriate for our listeners in, as we like to say, the DMV, Delaware, Maryland, or District Maryland and Virginia. But also, I know that you work with clients outside the area as well. So don't let that be a hindrance.
Yes. Thank you, Neil. It was so great. And yes, I work with clients in the area and outside of the area.
Terrific. Well, thanks again, Shanice, for being a guest on The Law Entrepreneur.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Well, there you have it, boys and girls, another episode of The Law Entrepreneur. I want to thank our sponsors for this episode, our good friends at Ruby. I can't say enough about Ruby. As you know, they've been my virtual receptionist for years now. Couldn't be happier with them. And I really urge all of you, if you need a virtual receptionist, that you give Ruby a chance. Also, Net Profit CFO, as I've mentioned before, Ryan Kimler was a guest on the program some time ago. I liked what he had to say so much, I became a client. And then after I became a client, he became a sponsor. So very happy about that arrangement. If you want to take your understanding of your financials in your law firm to that next step beyond just what your bookkeeper gives you back, give Ryan a call at Net Profit CFO. I don't think you'll be disappointed. If you enjoyed this podcast, do me the great favor of leaving a positive rating and review wherever you listen to your podcast. It really helps with the opportunity for us to get in front of other people. And until next week, I wish you all the best, and we'll see you again here on Law Entrepreneur.